Inspired Talk Radio, tune in to LA Talk Radio for reverent, entertaining, and cool talk.
Do-it-yourself extravaganza, as Backtime encourages you to make your own punchline to button up the events of October 13th. In 1792, the cornerstone of the White House was laid. Put your own Bill Clinton joke here. In 1951, Georgia Tech beat Louisiana State 25-17 in Atlanta, Georgia, as a football with a rubber covering was used for the first time. Make your own condom joke here. And in 1992, a commercial flight record was set by an Air France supersonic jetliner for circling the Earth in 33 hours and 1 minute. Insert your own airline lost luggage joke here. That's back time for October 13th. Insert your own joke of an announcer right here.
The following conversation is real. It took place in a Ford automobile equipped with MomStar.
That's so cool your parents let you have the car.
Yeah, let's find out how fast it'll go.
Awesome.
Hold it right there, little mister. You will obey the speed limit or you will come right home. You understand me?
Mom!
This potentially tragic situation was averted because this car was equipped with MomStar, the state-of-the-art parental monitoring system.
That stereo is too loud! Turn it down! Is your seatbelt on? I didn't hear a click!
Yes, Mom.
If you have a teenager, you have to get MomStar.
My sensors indicate you've been in an accident. Are you wearing clean underwear?
Mom!
MomStar. Always there, always ready, always knows exactly what you're up to.
A voice actor gets his first nude scene. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. After years of refusing to remove his clothes in the recording booth, popular voice actor Ben Garland will soon tape his first nude scene in a commercial for Verizon. Garland has been critical of others stripping down for the recording booth, but recently had a change of heart. Director Troy McMillan.
Ben came to realize that this was the only way to maintain the integrity of the ad copy.
McMillan says Garland was initially quite modest, but soon was comfortable enough to move around in little more than acoustic padding. This reporter plans to remain fully clothed. Doyle Redland for the Onion Radio News.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Susie.
Hi.
Welcome to Monday, October 13th, and we're with a new week.
October 13th already?
October 13th.
Holy shit.
I know. Time just flies, man. It's almost Christmas now.
I know. Yeah. I know. I actually just finished updating my calendar for the next 3 months.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't have calendars. That's why I never remember anything. You know?
Well, I do it online, and I actually post it online, like on Google, on my Gmail account. So anyone who wants to like book my services for anything can go and they can look at my calendar and see, oh, she's available. Oh, she's not.
I see. And what kind of services are those?
You know, bartending and nannying.
I see, okay.
The usual. Or if they just want to, you know, capture a wonderful Susie day.
Yeah.
They've got to make a date 3 months in advance.
Yeah.
You think I'm kidding.
Yeah, you're very antsy this morning, though. You're like all over the place.
I know, hold on.
Okay, go ahead. My God.
Okay.
Okay.
That's better.
So, we had a nice weekend.
Yes, we had a really nice weekend.
Right?
A very long, fun-filled weekend.
Yeah. And we got together here with all the hosts and stuff.
That really was delightful, I have to say.
Did you enjoy it?
I really did. I met a lot of really cool people here, you know, just even guests and guests of our other, what's the word I'm looking for? Hosts. But yeah, it was so, so, so nice. So thank you very much for that.
Sure. We did an open house and we invited all the hosts to the new studio, and it was a lot of fun. You know, I mean, that's what I always wanted to do, you know, and we tried with parties, but somebody else was throwing the parties, and, you know, there just was never a big turnout.
Definitely.
But here it was just amazing, you know, and you finally got to eat a Western bagel, right? You asked me about it the other day, and you can see it's the best bagel anywhere.
The Jews know the good bagels, I'll give you that.
There you go. We find them.
No, I'm serious. That's one thing I miss about New York was like really fucking good. But you go to a good Jewish deli and you get the good bagel and the cream cheese and the lox and the...
I know. And you even had lox, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I usually just put my locks like on top of the cream cheese. I never knew they actually made it like cut into the cream cheese.
Yeah, like mixed together, make it easier.
Yes, yes.
I know. So that's cool, and I was glad you came and stuff. You know?
Me too.
And you were dressed all nice and everything, conservative.
Well, I figured if some of the hosts like brought their wives and things, that I should try and make myself not look like the little harlot.
The little whore of the station.
That I usually look like. I'm not saying that I am one. I'm just saying sometimes my clothes give off the wrong impression.
I see.
Therefore, I tried to go total Boston preppy with the scarf and the blazer and, you know, the boots and everything. Uh-huh. So I'm glad you noticed.
Yeah, I did. And I just wanted to let you know and everybody that we're going to have a couple of guests today. We're going to call an author in a few minutes.
Cool.
And he wrote a pretty interesting book, so we're going to talk to him. And at about 9:30, we're going to have an astrologer calling in and stuff.
Awesome.
So that'll be nice.
She going to read my stars?
Maybe. In fact, you know what? She suggested to do my reading, so I sent her some information. I said, well, I'm sure Susie would love her reading,
yes,
too. But I didn't have any information on your birth, and I didn't get a response. But we'll do that as well, you know.
Okay.
I think if she's good, you know, we'll have her on the show every week or something, you know.
That'd be awesome. I met another astrologer here on Saturday.
Yeah.
Who does, like, I don't know if she does tarot cards or astrology.
She does
Aaron.
A lot of things.
I mean, I know.
She does, like, all kinds of... massages, I think, and things like that. Huh?
She sent me an email because we exchanged cards, and I said I would love to have you on the show. I mean, she's such like a smart, like articulate female.
Yeah, and she came back.
Nice.
Yeah, and she came back the following day to be on Mark's show.
Okay.
So, yeah, she's kind of a regular on the show now.
Excellent.
And
well, let's poach her.
Yeah, so she's a friend of the station, definitely. And so, listen, I mean, you've been getting into a lot of trouble, right?
So you mentioned this a little bit earlier outside. I tried to not get into trouble on Friday. I tried to stay home and be a good girl.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work out.
But it didn't work out.
No. Okay. So let me just back up and I'll tell you. Okay. So I decided I'm going to stay in on Friday night and have a couple glasses of wine with my roommate. She had one of her veterinarian friends coming over to put night vision goggles on, and they were going to rub themselves in catnip and go out on a cat hunt looking for her cat that's been missing. Which your son, by the way, when I was trying to explain this on Saturday, was like, cut the shit, Susie. What are you really trying to say? And I was like, I'm not talking about anything dirty involving pussies or, you know, nastiness. She's really going on a cat hunt.
I know. My son thinks of everything sexually now.
And everything that I say, like, it can't just be something not sexual. It has to have some kind of sexual connotation.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, no, really.
Well, that's what you project, so I guess that's how people view you, you know. I get a lot of feedback on you, you know. And people go, is she for real, or is this just for the show? I said, no, I think it's pretty real.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So, listen, I mean, we'll get to that story because it's kind of a long story,
okay,
right?
Yeah.
And we need to call the guest in a few minutes.
Sure, sure.
So, let's go into something else. Now, you told me about something last night. That's not as long, right?
So, what happened? Two nights ago, on Saturday night.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday night, I was babysitting until midnight, and then I went downtown to meet up with a bike ride. And so there weren't that many of us. There were overall 70, but by the time the incident happened, we were at USC, and we had gone to one of their parking structures that was like a million stories high, and it was completely abandoned. And so we set up our speakers, and we just decided we were going to like drink and smoke our pot and have a little bike dance party there for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
So while we're getting our groove on, I was actually making out with a Rubik's Cube genius on a different level.
Oh, you were?
Yes. At one point, I think he was like number 10 in the world for doing Rubik's Cubes like that fast.
Really?
Mm-hmm. You can actually like mess it up and then hand it to him, and his eyes will be closed.
Yeah.
With his eyes closed, he will put it back to, you know, being the way it should be.
Yeah. Well, I hate to disappoint you. My son can do the same thing.
Really?
But he's not in the top 10. But this guy probably does it faster.
He does it like in like 3 seconds.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable.
Isn't that amazing the way they do that?
It really is. And I kind of have a thing for like nerdy intellectual guys. Especially when they put their glasses on. Oh, my.
Yeah. Well, was he hot, too?
He was cute in a nerdy kind of way.
In a nerdy kind of way.
Yeah, but he is cute.
And you're like, I can devour this guy.
Well, do you want to know how this all happened?
Yeah.
Because I was just sitting with him talking, and he was telling me how he had tantric sex with this girl all summer. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, really? You've got my curiosity piqued, young man. I was like, have a seat. And so, you know, I was a little bit stoned and I was sitting there and he was like, all right, well, I'm going to teach you how to meditate. And I was like, no, fuck this. I don't meditate. And he was like, no, I want you to meditate. I said, trust me, I can't sit still long enough to meditate. And he's like, once you get this feeling, you won't ever want to stop meditating.
Really?
So it was a breathing exercise where you breathe in through your nose and you breathe really deeply into your lungs. And then from there, you breathe deeply into your stomach. And from there, you breathe deeply and you start doing like Kegel exercises.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, I'm just like getting, whoa, oh my God. I'm like, this is meditation?
Really?
As I'm like about to orgasm
and
right then and there.
And you were high at the time, though.
A little bit.
Okay,
Not, go ahead. A little drunk, a little high, whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I since took it home yesterday and I applied it in the bedroom to my own skills. You know, dancing with myself in my bed, whatever. But it's amazing. I couldn't believe it.
Really?
So I am going to start, you know, just really, really, really researching into this tantric sex thing.
Really?
I'm serious.
Wow.
But so anyway, so while I'm making out with the Rubik's Cube genius, mm-hmm. all of a sudden the police come to our little dance party.
Oh.
Because we were drawing on the concrete with sidewalk chalk.
Oh.
So we ended up having 10 police cars there, and at this point the group had separated, and we were...
10 police cars they needed for that.
10 police cars because, yeah. Ooh, we're dancing to music and we're drawing with sidewalk chalk.
Yeah. But now, if you were in an abandoned parking lot, how did anybody know about it?
I guess there were cameras in the entrance.
Oh, I see.
And so security, you know, was called to come over. So the fucking rent-a-cops, but they had guns.
Mm.
These rent-a-cops had guns. One of them actually pulled his gun out.
Really?
Because we had sidewalk chalk.
Really?
You know, this is the shit little girls use for hopscotch on the street.
Yeah.
You know, they don't get arrested. They don't get guns pulled out of them.
Yeah. I wonder what they were thinking, though. Maybe they thought there was something else going on. Maybe they thought you guys had weapons.
They searched. You know, we are the most dorky-looking group of people ever. I'm serious. We are so innocuous, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we were all detained for like almost 3 hours.
Wow.
We had to. Everyone had to put their hands on the wall. We were frisked. It was pretty intense.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did they take you in or were you there?
No,
you
they
just
didn't,
stayed there.
We just stayed there until the California Highway Patrol was actually called in just because one of our group members was 17. And there's a curfew law, apparently.
Oh.
If you're out past 10 o'clock at night, you have to be with your parents or with, I don't know.
Yeah.
Some other kind of guardian. But she's going to be 18 in 3 weeks. It was such bullshit.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah, so that was my interesting Saturday evening.
Yeah.
And they
so
took
I guess
down,
these cops looked for some action, I guess.
They have nothing else to do, seriously. Yeah. And I was the one standing closest to the one cop. And so I was the first one to go up and give him my information. And so thank God I still have my wallet that was returned to me last week. Because I was like, okay, license, military ID. You were in the military? And I was like, yes, sir. And he's like, oh, really? What were you doing? I was like, military police. So, you know, I understand you're just doing your duty. And this poor fucking rent-a-cop, you know, if he had been a real cop, he would have known, like, expired military ID. I'm out. I have no connections to the military whatsoever. But he starts patting me on the back, and he said, you know what? He's like, you know what, soldier, I'm going to write down your information and wink, wink, just between us, I'm going to toss it, you know, because I don't want this getting on your record.
Wow.
I'm like,
well, that
wink,
was
wink.
Nice of him.
It was nice, but, you know, the guy obviously had no idea what he was talking about.
Yeah.
And he just thought, like, I was one of them. Meanwhile, I'm just high out of my mind wanting to go back to my makeout session with Rubik's Cube Genius. But yeah, so then that was just, it was so ridiculous. And then I ended up getting home at like 8 o'clock in the morning because of this.
Mm. Wow. 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, 8 o'clock in the morning.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Susie, you got some adventures on you, man.
I know, yeah. I know.
All right, so should we call our guest real quick?
Yeah, I think we should.
Okay.
He seems really interesting.
Yeah, I think he really does. So let's give him a call. And we're calling Robert Volk, I believe it is. So we'll get him to pronounce his name correctly. No, I think it's probably like Dutch or something.
Yeah.
You know, when you pronounce the W like a V. So I'll see what's going on.
Hello.
Good morning, Mr. Robert Volk.
Yes, speaking.
Yes, good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie from LA Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I'm just doing great.
Great. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
I pronounce it Volk.
Oh, it is Volk. Okay.
It is.
Okay, I just thought maybe it's Dutch, so I thought I would show off and say Volk instead.
Well, sometimes I think I'm in the minority. Are we on?
Yes, we're on.
Oh, boy, how about that?
Yes.
Hello.
Yeah, we don't mess around.
All you millions of people out there, hi.
Yes.
I have to tell you, your book it's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Where are we calling you at? Robert Wood.
I am in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow. How's the weather up there today?
You know, I've been down here in my office, windowless office on the air all morning.
Oh, wow.
It's later here.
Yeah.
I haven't even looked out yet.
Oh, boy.
I think it's warm and sunny, not as much as it is there, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, well, wonderful. So you wrote a book called What Einstein Told His Cook. And so tell us a little bit about this book. Both Susie and I went through it a little bit, and it's fascinating, I think. I love explanations of scientific things and things we do every day. So go ahead, tell us briefly about the book.
Well, the subtitle tells a story, Kitchen Science Explained. For about 10 years, I wrote a column for the Washington Post in the food section, and I took emails and questions from readers, and I had thousands of them. And I decided that I'd pick some of the best ones and put them in a book and answer these questions for everybody else out there, because these were questions from regular old home cooks, not from scientists or chefs or anything, although I did get a lot from chefs.
Mm-hmm.
So these are questions that real people wanted to know while looking around in the kitchen.
Yes.
Not the chemistry in the pot. I like to say I think outside the pot more than I do inside.
Yeah.
So just whatever anybody might wonder about in the kitchen and the supermarket.
Do you like to cook as well?
Oh, yes, I do.
Now, will this book help my wife cook? Because she's a terrible cook.
Oh, Sam. Way harsh.
Go ahead. So,
you know, people always love what mother used to make. Well, when they start talking like that, I say, my mother was a lousy cook. And, she was.
Mothers can usually make one thing well.
Yeah.
In later life, I got hooked on cooking. And then some people marry for money. I married for food.
Well, that's original.
My wife is a lifelong food professional, ran a cooking school, and was food editor of a magazine and so on. So we cook together and we write together. She did the recipes in the book.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing. So there's a couple of I know we only have, what, about 10 minutes with you, 15?
I don't know what you have,
okay,
but I can go longer.
Okay, that's fine. I want to make sure that we touch on everything real quick. So,
no,
go ahead.
You're my last one for today. So.
Okay, so we're going to keep you here till about 3 o'clock or so, our time.
Okay, I want to know. I was telling Sam that I had oysters yesterday for lunch. Lovely little Kumamoto oysters, and he was telling me that they're still alive when I ate them.
Yeah, what's that about, sir?
You ate them on a half shell?
Yes.
Good. They're wonderful that way. Well, you know, I don't want to get into when does life begin and all that stuff that, you know, that's going on these days. But with an oyster, it's hard to define life. I mean, they don't have any sensory organs. Well, they do, but...
So it's not crying when I swallow it down.
No, it didn't make a noise, and when you boil a live lobster, it doesn't scream, no matter what some people say.
Oh, really?
You know, life is cruel, and
yes,
they taste so damn good. Come on,
yeah.
Life is cruel, and I was hungry.
There's always a bigger animal to eat you, you know?
That's for
sure. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But we're at the top of the food chain, and we seem to be able to do almost anything we want.
Yeah, thank goodness. Susie, what other questions do you see on there?
Why does blowing on hot food cool it? And I love this one because I'm a nanny, and so I'm constantly just like blowing on all the food, and it's like, and I always kind of wondered why.
Yeah, and you know what? I've been thinking about it. I don't know why, but lately when I drink my coffee, I wonder why is it that when I blow on it, it cools off a little bit. And I figured, well, yeah, I'm getting rid of the steam, but still, why... Why is that happening? Can you explain that to us?
Well, the steam is not the answer because it's already out there, right? So it's no longer in the liquid that you're going to drink.
Right.
But it is largely water. And as you know, if you get out of the shower soaking wet on a cold day or out of a swimming pool and the wind is blowing, you're going to feel cold because the water is evaporating on your skin, and evaporation is a cooling process. The molecules that evaporate are the hottest ones, and so the water molecules that are left behind
are there to cool your skin.
Are cooler. I'm sorry.
They're there to cool your skin. No.
Okay. Whatever you're talking about, Susie.
No, I'm trying to think back to my biology class that I'm taking right now. And I'm not doing so well in it.
It shows.
Thank you.
So go ahead to finish up.
Don't tell your biology teacher about live oysters or whatever. Which school do you go to?
Right now I'm just taking classes at Santa Monica College.
Yeah. So why shouldn't she tell the professor that?
I don't know why I said that. I'm getting a little punchy.
You're a great interview. No, that's fine. This is the show to do it on.
It's afternoon here, and I've been on since 7 a.m.
Oh,
my
God. Wow.
On various, and you're the last one, so let's have a ball, and I'll... As long as you want.
Yeah, like I said, this is definitely the place to be in. Now, I love the title of the book because anything that says Einstein on it, I'm interested. You know? So how did you come up with the name?
Well, this is the fourth book in my Einstein trilogy, I call it. I never expected to be writing this many books with Einstein in the title.
Yeah.
But the first one was... a title imposed upon me by the publisher. I fought against it and lost. It was called What Einstein Didn't Know. Scientific Answers to Everyday Questions. It wasn't about food. It was just about everyday science, the things you see around you and right. You know, why does it happen. Well, that was the first one, and then the publisher wanted a second one, and again they foisted off a title on me, and they called it What Einstein Told His Barber. More scientific answers to everyday questions.
Yeah.
So then when I started writing about food science, it was obvious that I had to make it What Einstein Told His Cook.
Yeah.
And then there was another What Einstein Told His Cook. Anyway, so I got into this groove. Einstein, as you know, is we just passed the 100th anniversary of his earth-shaking discoveries, the publications,
right.
So he's out there.
Yes, absolutely. And I guess your publisher realized the draw power that the name Einstein has if they proposed that. You know, I know it got my attention.
Yeah. That's right. I didn't want to imply that I'm a guy who knows more than Einstein. That But the title of a book is a sales tool,
right.
And the publishers knew what they were doing because the books have been doing pretty well.
Yeah, very interesting. Tell us something that's like, because obviously
what's your favorite thing in the book?
Yeah, like something that's really fascinating that we probably don't know.
Well, I Googled you guys. Hope it didn't hurt. And I found out that Susie does bartending, correct?
Yes.
Right.
I'm a mixologist.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I don't know about you listening to our show. You probably work... Okay, I'm not going to say anything. Okay.
Did you have a question for me with regards to bartending?
Yes, yeah, let's
I've got a bar bet that'll keep some of your customers at the bar longer arguing, okay? That's the purpose of bar bet.
Oh, right? I love it already.
Keep them there longer. Yeah.
Give me something good.
Okay. Heavy cream and light cream.
Okay.
Heavy cream actually weighs less than light cream.
Really?
Really? Wow.
Absolutely.
Wow. And how do you explain that one?
It's very easy. The heavy whipping cream contains a lot more butterfat.
Okay.
And fat, the fat weighs less than water. And so when you increase the ratio of fat to water, you're making it lighter. You're having more of that light fat in there instead of the relatively heavy water.
You know, I always wondered about that because I always read, like, the back, the ingredients and, like, how much fat is in, like, heavy cream versus, you know, light cream. And it's really not that different. Because I always thought if you were drinking, like, the heavy cream, I was going to become obese overnight.
Well, it's a lot fattier and a lot more calories. The calories in all the dairy products comes from the fat. The proteins are not very calorific, if I just made up a word. But
I like it.
Sounds good to me, yeah.
Here's another one for your bar friends.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Excuse me, I just had to cut off and clear my throat.
Oh, okay. That's good.
I'm back.
All right.
I read, I think this, yeah, this one is in the book. I read a couple of years ago about the amount of carbonated beverages and beer that are consumed in this country every year. And it turns out to be something like 20 billion gallons per year.
Whoa.
Of beer and soda pop. Mm. Okay? So I think of weird, crazy things like I gather you guys do. And I said to myself, I do talk to myself. I said, hey,
self.
Bob,
self.
What happens to all that carbonation, all of that carbon dioxide gas that's in all of that soda and beer?
Uh-oh, do we really want to know?
Well, I think it's pretty obvious when you think about it.
Yeah.
It eventually gets belched out.
Yes.
It is burped into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Now, carbon dioxide...
Yeah, burped is the nice answer, but I would imagine
it comes out both ends.
Yeah, some of that gas comes out the other way.
those are not pure carbon dioxide. Those are different gases, but we won't go into that.
That's okay. Methane.
carbon dioxide is odorless.
Yeah.
Let's just leave it at that.
Okay.
But carbon dioxide is a so-called greenhouse gas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's excited about burning coal and putting carbon dioxide in the atmosphere and at the global warming and all that stuff. So I decided, being a chemist, I should be able to do a calculation and figure out how much carbon dioxide is being belched into the air by drinkers of soda and beer.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
that's fantastic.
I came up with something like 800,000 tons of carbon dioxide.
Wow.
Are burped into the atmosphere.
Oh, no.
Every year by this country alone. I mean, people are burping all over the world. So multiply that by a huge figure. I said to myself, wow, that's got to be doing the global warming all by itself.
Yeah.
Oh,
well,
my goodness, especially with Americans guzzling all the beer.
Yeah, that's one huge burp, let me tell you.
Now, I have a question for you involving carbonation.
Wait, we're not done yet.
Okay, go ahead.
I did the calculations, and I found out that compared with the amount of carbon dioxide put into the air by automobiles, it's really not significant. So an awful lot, when you drive your car, you're putting a lot of more CO2 in the atmosphere than when you're drinking beer. So my advice to my readers is...
stop driving and start drinking.
That's right.
That makes sense.
Keep drinking, but don't drive.
Yeah.
I love it. That's fabulous.
Yeah.
Now, I've got a question for you. We've always taken, as a bartender, you've got to take like these alcohol certification classes.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things they always teach you is that carbonation speeds drunkenness. So if you're having like a scotch and water or a scotch and soda water, the scotch and soda water will get you drunker faster, even if, the other variables are the same, like the amount of alcohol in the drink. Why is that?
That is true because I can't tell you the whole mechanism, but carbon dioxide hastens the absorption of the alcohol into the bloodstream, and until the alcohol gets into your bloodstream, you don't feel any intoxication whatsoever. That's why they measure the degree of intoxication by the amount of blood of alcohol in the bloodstream, by the breath or by a blood test or whatever.
Oh.
So it does. Carbon dioxide goes in and out of the bloodstream very rapidly. And take some alcohol along with it. Let's put it that way.
Mm.
Now, let me ask you, we've got time for really one or two more questions. I wanted to ask, I drink a lot of Diet Coke, like maybe, I don't know, 4-6 cans a day. Do you think that has like long-term damage on the inside organs?
Well, I don't do nutrition and health.
Mm. But so you would probably know what the chemicals in the drink might do, no, to tissue?
They are thoroughly FDA approved for the amounts that are in the beverages. And there's all, when a new one comes out, there's always controversy. Some people start yelling they'll kill you and so on. But that's only suspicion of new chemicals. So my answer has to be I have to go with the Food and Drug Administration and say they're perfectly safe. Mm. Now, nothing is perfectly safe if you ingest enough of it.
Right.
You know, you can you can drink, you can kill yourself by drinking water. Or too much salt or whatever. But the government, our dear old government, has put the blessing on it, and so I wouldn't worry at all.
Wonderful. Okay, well, that's good. Susie, one last question for Mr. Woke.
Why do onions make me cry when I cut them? And how do I stop it from doing so? I've got these hideous onion goggles that I wear in the kitchen.
Yeah, I've gone through that, too. I've gone through every crazy trick that people say. Some people say if you wear contact lenses, take them out. Other people say put contacts in to protect your eyes. The craziest one out there that I've seen is just make sure that you cut off the root end of the onion before you cut the stem end.
Oh, please. Now,
that doesn't work.
Think about that. I mean, there's that onion sitting there. And it will, of course, remember that you cut the root end off first, and so it won't put out as much of this irritating gas.
Right.
Well, you know, I don't trust onions that much. that's nonsense. You can wear a complete diving mask, which I have done.
I can totally picture you cutting onion with that on.
Well, you can do that. Yeah. And other people say cut it underwater. Now, you don't have to be underwater, but the onion.
The onion.
I can see people taking it literally.
There's only one thing that works.
Mm-hmm.
And that is do it quickly.
No, that's a good answer.
Don't breathe too much of that stuff because it irritates the eyes. Onions don't smell until you cut them. What happens is you're breaking open these plant cells, and there are two different chemicals in there which are kept separate in the cells. But when you cut them open and smash the cells, they combine, and that's what makes the irritating gas, which could be called tear gas, I guess. But there's no way of preventing that, but. You see these chefs on television. They can mince an onion in no time flat.
I know.
And we hackers sit and stand there and cut and cut and cut.
Cut and cry and cut and cry.
And cut and cry, yeah. That's all. Just improve your technique and don't stand there too long breathing the stuff.
All right.
All right. Well, this has been fascinating. I mean, I could talk to you for hours. We do, however, have other calls coming in. So, Mr. Robert Wolk, the author of What Einstein Told His Cook, an amazing book. I would definitely recommend it. And I will put in a recommendation on Amazon as well. And I see there's already quite a few reviews on there. So congratulations on the book. Now, quickly, how long did it take you to put all this material together?
Oh, something between a year and a year and a half.
Oh, wow.
And that's total dedication. I mean, you have to resign from the human race during that period.
Yeah.
Did you find that a lot of the things that you had in your book were questions you had already answered, over the course of your writing for the Washington Post food column?
Yes. In fact, that's where I got a lot of the questions.
Mm. So it kind of wrote itself for you.
Yeah.
What's that?
So the book kind of wrote itself.
No, it takes a little more to write the book than an email from a reader. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, well, after the last one, my wife says, if you write another book, we're finished.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, no.
She's coming to the West Coast.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Congratulations to you, Robert Wolk. And,
okay, guys.
Yeah,
let
we'll definitely.
My website. Can I?
Yeah,
please, please.
Website, double, Robert Wolk, that's R-O-B-E-R-T-W-O-L-K-E.com. And that's all. You can even get a link directly to Amazon and pick up any of this book. There are, I think, four books on that website.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely a fun read. It's an easy read, and I would definitely recommend it. Thank you so much for being on the air with us.
And for dealing with my silly questions.
Yes. And all the best to you, really. And don't think of another book, please. I think we want your wife to stick around for a while.
Yes.
I would appreciate that, yes. Thanks, Sam and Susie. You've been a lot of fun.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
Okay. Whoops, I just cut him off, sorry. Okay, so, and anyway, I think our astrologer is trying to call in, so please call in again, and we just went a little over with Robert, but that was fascinating.
Yeah, that really was.
I mean, can you imagine having all that wealth of information in your head? Wow. And but I bet you he's an amazing cook, you know? I mean, he says he likes to cook, he's in the kitchen and stuff. Wow.
I know. I love to be in the kitchen. I love to cook, too. But I usually,
really? Do you?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh. It's one of my favorite things. Okay. Is she calling in?
Yeah. Good morning. You're on the air with Sam and Susie. Is this our astrologer from Canada?
You got it.
Oh, wow. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Sorry I had to make you dial back, but we went a little over with our guest.
Yeah, you guys are busy. I was listening.
Yes, absolutely. So where in Canada are you?
Toronto,
Ontario. Okay. And please, please tell us what your name is so everybody knows.
It's Holly Hall, and I'm an astrologer and a dream expert.
Wow.
Wow, dream experts. Now, there's a lot to talk about there.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like a traditional college that you would go to become a dream expert.
No. Actually, the fact that I have probably 5 or more dreams a night is a good start.
Wow, and you remember them all?
I've been analyzing my dreams for 20 years.
Ay, ay, ay.
And everybody
crazy.
Else is now.
Jeez. So you apparently dream a lot.
Yes, I do.
Oh, wow.
It's like a whole other world for me. It's absolutely amazing. It's like I feel like I'm still, you know, very active, as if I am during the day.
Wow, yeah. Your mind keeps working nonstop, yeah. So, you're probably the right person to ask. What do you think dreams are?
Well, there's actually several different, analogies of what they are. There's about 3 or 4 different types of dreams, and they come from different parts of our subconscious. So some dreams are just kind of blah, 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 what's happened during the day, and it's just being recycled throughout the night in your subconscious. And some dreams actually come from a deeper part of your subconscious, and a lot of people believe that there's actually an intelligence out there that our subconscious is all connected to, and some of our dreams come from that as well. And there's other dreams that come from our the back of our subconscious, when it comes from our past, like childhood issues come up, if there's something that triggers it in your life right now, and that they're problem solving. You know, dreams basically help you solve problems.
Wow. So
I dream about my mother a lot.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
And I think they've got problems.
I'm halfway kidding.
Mom not listening.
Yes, hopefully.
Yeah. You know, but it seems like, I mean, it makes sense because it's sort of like you have periods in your life where you dream of certain things. Like, I know for a while, for several years, I would always dream that I can just wave my hands and fly, you know, just take off and fly. And I would fly like all around, like a bird or like an airplane. And it was an amazing feeling, like I'm the only one that can do it, you know. And, you know, like I would stand next to you and I'd start going like this and I would take off, you know.
For the listeners who could not see him, he was flapping his imaginary wings.
Yes. So what do you think that's about, Holly?
No, those are amazing dreams. I've only had a flying dream once that I can, you know, remember. But some people are able to do it on a regular basis. And a lot of it has to do with when you're at a moment in your life where you're really growing rapidly on a spiritual level. And that could even mean that subconsciously, you know, you might be growing by understanding, you know, human beings on a different level according to an experience that you're having. But then another concept is what people call astro traveling. Mm-hmm. And they say when we dream, we have like an etheric body, which is like an energy body that actually leaves our physical body and goes off in dreams.
Mm.
And so the flying dreams could be related to that as well, too.
Mm, interesting. So you don't think it's like about freedom and all that and, you know, wanting to be free and...
Do you feel tied down?
Maybe I did at the time.
No, it is in a way. That's why it's spiritual growth. It's that you have created a freedom within your soul or your psyche by growing at a rapid rate.
Mm, that makes sense because I think it was during the time when I went through a spiritual transformation. So that kind of makes sense, yeah.
Mm.
Wow, interesting. So how long have you been doing this? How long have you been interested in this?
About 20 years.
Wow, that's a long time to be. So you're good at it by now.
Yeah. It's like a second language for me now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't even have to journal. Like at the beginning I journaled. I have probably about 3 years worth of my dreams journaled. Now I don't have to journal because I know all of my own personal symbols. And just as soon as I wake up, as I go throughout the day, I start analyzing my dream before I forget it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
now, why do people forget dreams? What's the reason
because
for that?
Because it's in your subconscious, and as soon as our conscious starts becoming awake, and our conscious mind can only hold 7 items at a time.
Yeah, that's
and
why phone numbers
so
are
everything
7 digits.
Yeah, so everything gets pushed back. So as soon as you wake up, it's like, I got to brush my teeth, I got to get to work, oh my God, what time is it? You know,
yeah.
I'm gonna have for breakfast. You forget it. But for people who want to journal their dreams, as soon as you wake up, if you just write down about 4 or 5 key notes of that dream, you'll remember it like later on when you get back from work and you want to analyze it. You just need something to trigger that thought.
Mm.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, I think it's about remembering them, you know, because I think we dream several times a night. It's just we don't remember. But sometimes...
We do. We dream... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, we dream every 90 minutes.
Oh, wow.
We have to go through beta, theta.
Cycles.
Sorry. No, when we get down to beta, then that takes about 90 minutes to get to that point. Then we dream for about 20 minutes.
Wow.
And then we go right back up and we start all over again.
Yeah. So we dream
about 5 times a night.
Do you think dreams have some kind of a benefit to us?
Oh, definitely. Mm. They actually say that if you didn't dream, you'd go crazy. Because
wow.
You wouldn't, it's what helps us solve day-to-day problems. Very famous people, Thomas Edison, Edgar Casey, relied on a cot or a bed close to their workspace and dreamed every time they couldn't solve a problem.
Wow.
That's amazing. Wow. Now, what about nightmares?
Same thing, probably.
Oh, how do you stop yourself from having nightmares? I mean, when I was 4 years old, I ended up having this awful one that involved clowns. My mom and I had been at a mall, and a clown gave me a balloon. I know it's whatever cliche, everyone has a fear of clowns, but you know, I was so little at the time, and I had a nightmare that very night that the clown tried to come back to the house and get the balloon, and when I wouldn't give it to him, he killed my parents. And then that dream like manifested itself. You know, I'd be driving on the West Side Highway with my mom, and then the window washer would turn into a clown, like trying to get the balloon back. And I was a little girl. So how do people like stop from having something like that?
That is horrible. Well, first of all, nightmares are not as scary as you may think. Nightmares are actually ways that your subconscious is telling you or trying to kill something off or get rid of something.
My
that
parents?
Is not, yeah, that is not, but it's not necessarily parents. It will exaggerate it and say that you're actually killing your parents, but it's you're trying to get rid of sort of a negativity that's being created around your parents at that time.
Okay.
Okay, so you're using something now. I don't know at that time if there was something very significant that was going on between you and your parents or between your parents. Or even between your parents and having fun, because a clown would represent typically fun,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Somebody that entertained you and made you laugh. So whatever was happening within your family life at that time, or within your parents, in your dream, you were trying, you know, your little young child mind was trying to get rid of it. And getting the way we get rid of things in our dreams is we kill them off, or if they are destroying us, like let's say there's something happening in your life that's really affecting you on a negative way, then it will manifest in your dream like you're being killed.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Crazy.
Well, I want to ask you a lot about sex dreams, but I think we'll go into something else because we just met. But let's get into astrology a little bit. I've always got so many questions about it, but the bottom line is we're trying to figure out our destiny, our path, whatever, through the planets and the stars. Now, so in the big scheme of things, do you think the planets were created for us? Or do you think it's just a coincidence that we are affected?
That we're aligned with them?
Yeah, or maybe not a coincidence, but the result of having the planets in certain positions.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good question. Basically, what it boils down to is physics. It's energy. So everything on Earth, we're affected by it, and we affect everything on Earth, and everything. Same thing with the universe and the planets. So it's just basically a observation since the Babylonian age of the language of what that energy or how that energy of the planets affects us. So that's basically what it, and whether it's been created, I don't believe they were created for us. It was sort of like it all happened at the same time.
Oh.
And they, I think the planets were there before us, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think so. Wow. So, So now, why is astrology important? I mean, let's say I'm a pretty big skeptic, and although I was really into this stuff for a while, doing my spiritual transformation, let's say, or
reading
whatever.
Reading your horoscope.
Yes. No, I don't think those horoscopes mean anything, but I did go to an astrologer once, and she really amazed me with some of the things she told me about myself. So, I think when you go to an astrologer and she tells you things about yourself, it's almost like trying to prove that she knows about you. But why would somebody really come to you, Holly, and have their chart done? And, you know, what is it they're trying to find out?
Yeah. Well, what I think they should be coming to me for and what they do come to me for are different.
Oh, okay.
Well, most people are like, when am I going to find my soulmate? And when am I going to get the best job in the world that makes me, you know, all the money that I want? But the
You're not a fortune teller.
No, I don't want to be, like, considered a fortune teller. I can foretell events that it's going to happen to somebody, but I can't. I can take a guess at how you're going to react to it, you know, what you're going to do with it. But my best is that I just like to counsel people to make the most of it and to come out of it the best that they possibly can be, whether it's a negative time or even a positive time. So just what you were saying, Sam, that when you had that astrologer tell you all about who you were, that's a perfect example of what astrology does. When I look at somebody's chart, it's like a map. Mm-hmm. Like a manual of their soul, all the different layers, all their different sides, their personalities, relationships with their parents, past life relationships, how they're going to react when they're in a relationship, you know, in a love relationship and stuff like that. So, yeah, most people come to me with those two typical questions, but I usually sort of, I guess, positively manipulate it into talking about more about them.
Yeah,
and how they can make it happen, because they can. It's funny that we get so wrapped up in different parts of our lives that we forget other parts of the other strengths that we have. And sometimes you need somebody to point that out.
Yeah, my question to you is this, though. I mean, if all this stuff is true, then does this mean that if someone is born at the same moment that I do in the same hospital, are we going to have like a similar destiny, or are we going to be very similar? Because these are the factors you take into account when you do a chart. You ask me where I was born, what time, what date. So how come not everybody that's born in the hospital at the same moment all the same?
Yeah. Believe it or not, I started off as a skeptic, so that's what keeps me addicted to it, because I have questions like that constantly as well, and I have to find the answers.
Yes.
And that was one of them. especially with twins. And I found that people will use the personalities and the strengths that they have differently. They will use different sides of themselves according to the environment that they're in. So you may have the exact same, let's say, 12 different personalities within yourself, and you'll use five of them more than you'll use the other six because of the environment that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And so this person, if they're put into another environment, then they'll use, you know, the opposite than what you would
use.
So
it's like nature versus nurture.
What's that?
So it's kind of nature versus nurture. Like if you take two twins that are, you know, born of the same genetic parents and you put them in different environments, right. You know, and you feed one pasta and one vegetables, they're going to look different.
Yeah. And I'm sure it probably has something to do with the soul as well, right? Because I would imagine this life is the journey that we choose to take, right? That's why we choose to be born at that place, at that particular moment.
Yeah. It's... I go a bit deeper than that because I still work on physics and energy. So we're just naturally attracted to be with certain souls because of karma, which is cause and effect. Like, you know, certain ways that you dealt with life, you're gonna bounce back into another life accordingly. So I don't think we actually look at a bulletin board before we're born and say, I'm gonna be this and this and that. I'm gonna have this color hair. You know, we make the choice by the choices we've made before.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yes, it does. It does. But I would imagine, you know, if your soul comes back for a specific lesson, then you would choose the appropriate parents to put you in that position, you know. So exactly.
Apparently I needed a spanking.
You needed a spanking, and it didn't work either.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
So did you do Sam's chart?
She did a little bit on me, and you know what? One thing she hit on is you said that I would have a great success later in life, and that is exactly what's happening. I mean, I was ready to give up many times in my life because succeeding in business or just not even that, but an achievement. You know, I wanted to do something
you were proud
music.
Of and that you loved.
Yes, you know, something original in that, and I always felt the need to do that. You know, so that's why I always felt confined within 9-to-5 jobs and stuff. And, you know, but I did start several businesses and stuff, and there were moderate successes, but I never really like hit it big. And, you know, I always felt that maybe somewhere later in my life, you know, I mean, that astrologer actually told me and numerologist that probably in my 40s, I would start seeing changes financially and everything. And sure enough, you know, I mean, this radio station is a huge success and it's probably going to be a lot bigger. And so this is later in life, definitely. So, you know, so you were right on that.
You have the Taurus, but you've got a lot of Scorpio in your chart.
Oh, really?
Well, too. So with those two, and they oppose each other. So with those two in your chart, you are stubborn and determined.
Yes,
and
he
nonstop.
Is.
You're just not gonna. You're not gonna give up. You become obsessed.
Yeah,
really.
I do. I really do. I really
She's
do.
She's good.
She's very good. I mean, I become completely obsessed. You know, it's like the world starts moving in slow motion for me. I get impatient. I get irritable.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, because it's like sort of like I need to get there and I need to get there now. And, you know, everybody in my way is an irritant, you know. So kudos to you for figuring that out. I mean, geez. So now, so when you say I have Scorpio, is that what they call the horizon or the rising, right? Whatever it is.
Your rising is actually, I believe it's still Taurus, because of the time that you were born. Mm. No, your Scorpio is in the other planets, like Venus and the Moon.
I see.
So you actually have about 3 or 4 planets in Scorpio.
Right. But I am pretty much a Venus, right? I mean, see, I'm the king of love, Susie. I'm not surprising.
Well, you got to remember, Scorpio is the most sexual sign of the zodiac.
Oh, really?
My roommate's a Scorpio.
Wow. There you go. Love and sex, passionate. Man. That's me.
and well, stubbornness.
Isn't everybody? Wow, that's amazing.
Well, what's that say about me as a Pisces?
I don't know, but you know what? For next time, Holly, we'll send you Susie's information, and you can you can do a little chart on her. You know, I mean, these things are amazing. I got to tell you, I've always been a skeptic, but I used to, I had a relationship with a numerologist, and she was amazing as well. You know, she came up with some things for me.
All right, that now that's weird. Imagine. Just and you adding know what? All the numbers
and
together.
And she's in Toronto too, by the way. I don't know what a coincidence this is, but what's that, Suzanne?
Numerology just sounds weird, like adding all of those numbers together.
But no, I mean, the thing is, you realize the whole world is made of numbers in mathematics, you
true.
Know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It really makes sense. And you know what, Susie, when it starts being accurate, you really have to stop and say, wait a minute, there's something to it, you know? And it's amazing. Holly, so let me ask you this. Like, for example, are you able to predict things like, well, you're not a psychic, really. I mean, you're focused on people. It's like you wouldn't know that.
She's basically an interpreter. You
right.
know, the signs are there, and she just has to, like, explain them to all of us laymen out here.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, it's a language, basically. Yeah, it's exactly that. But, yeah, I can do predictions. If people are asking me if there's a relationship coming up for them, I really actually like working with people with businesses and they want to have an idea of the certain dates that they should use to start up a business. I do that as well.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
Yeah.
Holly, I mean, you're, like, so fascinating. We might actually, like we discussed, maybe we'll have you call in, like, once, twice a week, and we can find out a lot more about this, because this is, you know, this is fascinating, and I think that, you know, again, the reason I find it fascinating and interesting is because I am a skeptic, you know, so when I'm like, when she can, you know, when Holly can come up with something like this and figure me out like that, that's pretty impressive, I think.
Now, I have a question for her as well, too, after she answers that one.
No, that was not a question, but... it was a question, so come on. More often. Okay, go ahead, Susie.
So I have this, I call them my hippy-dippy friends. And they told me, I walked into their house one day and I was bitching about, like, I don't know, or I was kind of joking about my dad and me, saying that, you know, oh, if we were on a houseboat together, someone was going to be thrown off. Because we fight so much. And then they were like, oh, you need to be balanced. You're not a very balanced human being. Oh, my goodness. You're just oozing, you know, unbalancedness. And I was like, so do you know anything about this balancing process that I had to go through, which took like 4 or 5 hours? And, you know, they got curses off. I had a curse from Orion, and I had a curse from 6 million years ago. So, you know, they... No, you're dying laughing, so does that mean you don't believe in that shit? I mean, Steph?
No, not always. I find, you know, the one thing that I find with some of these New Age people is that they, and I like what you said, is these hippy-dippy friends, because they're like, love, 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 everybody love, you know?
Exactly.
If you're having a pissed-off day, have a pissed-off day. That's balance for me.
I know, that's what I felt the same way. But the only thing that
you
I thought...
You can't fake it, you know?
The only thing I thought that was similar to what you said was you said you, you know, you did a lot of work with, like, energy and, like, physics in the universe, and that was kind of, like, their whole thing, too. Like, I had to be balanced with my cell phone. I had to hold my cell phone in one hand and have it up to my ear, and then be balanced with that because there could be potential negative energy. I had to be balanced with, like, my television, because I could have had, like, I had to touch the television and get balanced with that because of the energy in the universe. But it got a little bit far-fetched when my boyfriend was superimposed into my girlfriend's body, and I had to hold her hand and call her Franz.
Didn't they make a movie like that?
I think Sam just peed his pants over there. But, you know, like, apparently his energy was, like, you know, sucked up
in. I think your hippy-dippy friends are a little, you know, a little smoking a bit too much.
Yeah, a little hippy-dippy.
Oh, goodness. Okay, so you don't think there's any validity behind this? That's just my question.
I do believe that there is a way to balance energy, like within your house. I believe in feng shui and all of that, you know, yin and yang stuff like that. But the cell phone and the telephone one, that's, or the TV, that's the first I've heard of.
That's the first. Sorry. Okay, good to know. Yeah. No, no, don't apologize to me. I was the big, you know, I left the place with my arm hurting because the reason they found my curse from Orion was you have to hold your arm out and they muscle test you. And so, like, he pushes down in your arm and it's like, does she have a curse from Orion? Orion! And then if my arm drops, I have a curse from Orion.
Oh my
but,
God.
You know, this was like to hour three into the session and my arm just fucking hurt.
Yeah.
You know, I was tired of holding it up anymore, so I dropped my arm and he's like, you have the curse from Orion. Like, I don't even know what Orion is.
Yeah. Sorry, Susie just dropped the F bomb. Now Holly won't be able to use this interview for to show other people. Oh well.
Holly, I apologize.
We just tainted okay. the whole interview.
Well, next time, tell me in advance to refrain.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you got to know what show you're calling into. Holly, why don't you go ahead and plug? You probably have a website, and do you have a book or anything that you want to plug?
Yep. No, I don't have a book yet. I'm working on it. Mm-hmm. I have a website. It's astrodreams.ca, mm-hmm. and I have a home where I do all my readings, which is www.12listen.com, and I'm on there most days for people to call in for readings.
Excellent.
It's 12 what?
.com.
Listen.
Oh, 12listen.com. I see.
.com.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And so everybody go to that website. That's obviously a Canadian website with the .ca, and which is appropriate,
yes.
I guess, for you. And So what's going on there? Are you married, Holly?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow.
Married kids.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed because she's very cute, and
Sam,
I told her
you're
that.
Married, too.
Yeah, that's true, but I can tell her she's cute. In the beginning, you know? And and I did.
Shameless flirt. Shameless.
Very nice, yeah. So everybody go see Holly. And that's 12listen.ca. And it's...
No, 12listen.com.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The 12listen. Yes, 12listen.com. I'm sorry. And what was the other one then? The Canadian one?
Astrodreams.ca.
Okay, sorry.
And A-S-T-R-O Dreams.
Right. And we'll definitely put a link on our website for you. And thank you so much for calling. You're very entertaining and very fun. And you're
apparently right on the money.
Yes, amazingly
yeah,
so.
Thank you.
So may we send you Susie's information so you can do a little chart on her real quick?
Definitely.
Wonderful.
Definitely.
So we'll do that, and then you can come on again, and we'll go over that and everything. And there's still a million questions I want to find out about you. So, okay, so let's set up another time after we go off the air, and we'll have you call in again.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Sounds good, Holly. Thank you
so much.
Okay, Susie.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, and that was Holly Hall from Toronto, California.
Canada.
Toronto, Canada.
I love Canadians. They're my favorite people ever.
Yeah, I know. They're really nice and warm, you
know?
They
really are.
Yeah. I like traveling there, you know? And Vancouver is cool, too, right? You like going to Vancouver.
Did I tell you I'm going to be up there at the end of the month?
Oh, nice.
For the Madonna concert.
Really?
My friend's out
you
there.
You got tickets already?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. I'm so excited.
I'm sure.
Celebrate.
I would love to see Madonna. Wow.
Apparently, she's having a show, I think, November 6th at Dodger Stadium.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know. Her tickets are probably going to be astronomically expensive.
Yeah, I know.
My friends got them for me out there, so, you know, yeah. I bought the plane ticket out there.
You know, I wouldn't mind paying a high price if I knew I'm sitting in the first 10 rows or something. Mm. But when you have to sit all the way on top...
And you're a million miles
yeah,
away.
Yeah, you can't see shit, you know, and then still pay a high, you know, I'll just listen to an album.
I know.
You know, I mean, you don't really see anything.
Well, it's not the same. Like, when you're in a crowd like that, you've got the energy of everyone, and, like, you know all the
That's
songs,
true.
And you get to see all the crazy things on stage, and it's Madonna, so you never know what she's going to do.
That's true. Yeah, but you're not going to see it. Oh, but now they have the big screens and everything, so you can see that, yeah.
Well, hopefully the venue won't be too large in Canada.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to take a little break. We haven't taken any breaks yet today.
I know. Let's go.
An exciting show, huh? Why, you have to go pee again?
I do have to pee.
Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Here's to men, old white men with a weak stream of support for Barack Obama. But now, there's help from the makers of Flomax. It's Flobama Max.
Most of the time, I find myself straining. Not to call him Osama, that is. Can Flobama Max help me?
Flobama Max eliminates BPH, otherwise known as barack-phobic honky.
When it comes to supporting the Democrats, I'm always starting and stopping. even in the middle of the night.
Ask your doctor if Flobama Max is right for you. As long as you ignore your gut feelings about his inexperience, leaking and other side effects shouldn't be a problem.
Thanks to Flobama Max, I spend less time in the can and more time saying, yes, we can.
Flobama Max, for the audacity of having to go.
Hello, this is Borat Zagiev. When I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice.
Metal for you for the early morning.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, that was fun with the astrologer.
I know. She sounds really cool. I like her.
She's really cool. Thank you, Holly.
Holly Hall.
And so we do have an unexpected guest in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are both of you?
We're good. This Fantastic. Is Mr. Alan Cardoza, and he's got the show Answers for the Family every Monday right after our show. That's 11 o'clock in the morning.
And I've told you a million times, Sam, I don't think this is the right show to promote this man. Because we are so unfamily-oriented.
That's okay. That's okay. But I'm sure the parents will love to hear. Maybe not the kids, but the parents. So, Alan, tell us a little bit about your show, what it's about. What you're going to have today. Go ahead.
I would love to, and I'll tell you a little bit about the show, but first of all, I don't know if we should break the news now, Sam, or not, but actually, Sam asked me to be here to transport you to a program.
Oh, no. You see, that's an intervention is being...
an intervention is going to happen right now for you. Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, shit.
I love you guys' show. Answers for the Family is a show where people can call in, or they can write, they can email, they can call us, and we're going to talk about the questions they have for their children. It might be if they're dealing with addictions, it might be they're dealing with just they can't get them to do homework. I mean, whatever it may be, issues that might be health related, you know, helping build self-esteem. I think because I've been in this industry for 30 years, so I have dealt with everything from returning runaway kids to returning parentally abducted kids from other countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, and within that time, I've met, you know, just hundreds of incredibly talented people that work in this industry. So I felt if I can bring them here, have them on the show, people can ask them questions and we can help.
Yeah, and I'm sure you guys are busy. There's a lot of work in that, huh?
Well, yeah, that's the good news and the bad news.
Yeah, yeah. Depends how you look at it. Yeah. So I know you have kids of your own as well, right?
Yes, I do.
And so you have firsthand experience. And
absolutely.
Yes.
In fact...
But thankfully, your kids don't have to be found and chased down and everything.
No, not yet, but they're 12 and 14.
Oh,
so.
Yeah. You know, just wait.
They may decide to challenge me at some point.
Yeah,
those are great ages.
They really are. Yeah. In fact, I had them on the show before school started, and it was great. They actually kicked me out of the studio.
Oh no!
Because we were asking them questions about, you know, okay, well, what if the parents say this, or what if the parents say that, and they go, well, Dad, we're not going to say that in front of you.
Yeah.
Why don't you go out of the studio?
Right.
I got kicked out of my own show.
Oh, no.
But it was great.
Jeez.
So I have a question for you.
Sure.
You know, this is always something that I always kind of struggle with. It's like when I have kids, I mean, I know I've done a lot of drugs and partying in my life. And when I have kids, I mean, obviously I say that I'm going to want to be open with them and I'm going to want to talk to them about like my past experiences. Now, what is... Do you obviously, I think you would probably talk with your kids about drugs because that's how parents say, like, you prevent kids from doing drugs.
Correct.
Now, would you recommend that I actually, like, disclose a lot of my past history to my children?
I mean, I don't think that you should lie to them, but I also don't think you need to volunteer too much information.
Okay, interesting.
I'm sure there are some instances in which there are bad experiences,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, it depends on how you explain it to them. If they come home and they tell you, hey, we just heard that, you know, Johnny at school got in trouble because he brought cocaine to school. Did you ever do that, Mom? Okay, you know, yeah. I'm saying don't lie to them because they're gonna find out later that you did somehow.
Right.
So you can tell them, just don't glorify it. Well, you know what? I did some things like that at various times. You know, what happened? What did it do? I mean, as long as you don't glorify it, I mean, we're all human. We've all done a lot of different things.
Yeah. Even if you liked it a lot, don't let up.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, I don't think you want to go, wow, that was the greatest part of my life.
I hate cocaine. It just smells so good.
Wow, that's amazing. So what do you feel qualifies you to have a show like this? I mean, obviously, you've got a lot of experience and stuff, but how did you learn about all this stuff?
Well, I mean, I have psychology as a background. Actually, I started school taking law classes. I thought I was going to be an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up working for a private investigator.
Mm-hmm.
And as I was working with him, I realized, you know, I think psychology fits a lot better with what I'm doing than law. Because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can learn the law and know what you're supposed to do as an investigator. But the psychology of dealing with people,
mm-hmm.
that became something that I felt would allow me to be a truly exceptional investigator.
Wow. Yeah.
And so in doing that, and because I started so young, the person I worked for, he's a wonderful man. His name's Walt Zwanitzer. And he had said, you know, I'm going to put you in charge of locating runaways because you look like some of those snot-nosed kids.
Aww.
I went, I think that's a compliment, but I'm not sure.
Well, this is amazing. And you've had your show for a while.
Yes.
How long have you been with us?
Since July.
Wow.
I think July 14th was the first show.
Wow.
And
it's October 13th now.
That's
so,
correct.
Yeah, so you're looking at 3 months, three good months.
3 months.
And you've had some fascinating guests, you know. Who are you going to have today?
Today we have, and for anybody that is from Southern California and probably over the age of maybe
26.
30.
Yeah. Well, Susie, leave the room.
they will know my guest. My guest is Dr. Art Uhlein.
Yes.
And Art is a phenomenal man, and he literally pioneered bringing shows about your health on television.
So, oh, okay.
I mean, for 23 years, he had a show on television.
Yes.
Before anybody else had shows that were dealing with people's health on a variety of different levels.
Yeah. Didn't he have segments on news programs as
yes,
well?
Yes, he did.
I
yeah.
remember that.
Yeah.
Because that name almost rolls off my tongue because I remember it so well.
Oh, yeah.
Like in, what is it, in the 80s or something?
Absolutely.
He was like big.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Dr. Art Uhlein.
That's right.
So, yeah, Susie doesn't know shit about this, but,
well,
but that's okay.
Well, and now.
But now I do.
There yeah. you go. And now he's an author of over 50 books on various ways
Whoa.
To maintain a person's health.
Really?
So.
Wow. So that's a wealth of information right
Absolutely.
There.
He better be in good shape.
Yes. And he is. In fact, he's an expert skier.
Oh, cool.
He's a phenomenal man. I've known him now for, maybe 8 years.
Actually, and, you know, I take that back. Just because he's an expert skier doesn't mean he's in good health. My father is an expert skier as well, and he chain smokes and drinks and eats horribly.
So, what I wanted to ask is, so how is he related?
Oh, geez, Alan, is this your first time in the studio?
No, he didn't prepare to come into the studio. That's fine. That's okay. That's okay. Don't worry about it.
There we go.
There we go. Okay.
I like that little jingle.
Yeah.
The iPhone, yeah. My question is, so how he's into health and stuff. How is he going to, I mean, what's the angle on your show today?
Well, just in regards to how stress and poor health affects your family. How if... You know, in this day and age, I mean, we're in the day and age, the time in which junk food is king.
Right. Mm.
And now there's an incredible amount of obesity problems with our youth. You know, there are states in which they're saying that, you know, right now 40% of their youth are already obese and they're
gosh.
Not even out of high school yet.
Wow.
You know, so.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty
sad.
Scary. Yeah.
So, and I just want to show everybody what the correlation is, you know, and it's not just with the fact that you're now physically out of shape, but mentally the effect that it's taking on your family.
Right. Mm.
So, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that'd be an exciting show. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And anything, any upcoming guests that we should know about?
Well, next week I have a counselor that is coming from Australia. He's going to be in studio. He actually lands the day before.
Oh, nice.
And he's going to come and talk about how they differ in the way in which they deal with their kids.
Mm.
So he's going to be out here looking at some wilderness programs and how they deal with at-risk youth in comparison to how we deal with them here as Americans. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Interesting, yeah. You see, Alan's my hero. He's like a little James Bond, you know? I mean, he goes undercover, and it's amazing. And maybe some other time we'll actually talk about that again. And because I think what he does is fascinating, you know, and it's almost like you can always make a movie based on your life, probably.
So. Well, I'll tell you, hopefully, I've got a new case right now that involves, it's a child stealing case in Mexico, stolen from Italy.
Wow.
And what I'd love to do is, once we're successful, come back on the show and give you an incredible success story.
Yes, yes, I would love to
hear that. I think you
should
go on Oprah, too.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I mean, he does have to go sort of undercover, you know, find people, you know, and bring them back, you know, kids.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really takes a lot of cojones, right? All right.
I thank you very much.
Sure. Alan Cardoza, of course, one of our favorite hosts on the station. He's got Answers for the Family at Monday at 11
Absolutely.
Every week. And stay tuned for him today with Dr. Art Uhlein.
Great.
Thanks,
you both.
Alan.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Bye now.
Bye. So that was Alan. Susie.
Yes, my dear.
We need to go back to your story.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. One from Friday night.
Yes. So take us back. You were at home.
I was at home. I had just finished work, and I decided to go back to my house. And I was having a glass of wine, or maybe two glasses of wine, with my roommate.
Uh-huh.
And she was preparing to go on her cat hunt, rolling in catnip and with the night vision goggles, etc.
I can't get over that.
Yeah. So she had two male friends.
Where did she get night vision goggles?
She had her friend, who's a veterinarian, bring over the catnip and the night vision goggles. Apparently, there's a whole spy store on Hollywood Boulevard that. Is it Hollywood? Yeah, Hollywood, I don't know, whatever the street is. Where you can actually go and get all of his equipment.
Really?
Yes, I think you could rent it like by the hour or whatever. But so anyway, that's the kind of evening I was prepared to have. Like, and she wanted me to come too, and I'm like, you know, I'm a little tired. Yeah. I'm just going to stay in. But so anyway, all of a sudden I hear tires like screeching, and I hear a collision outside my house.
It was pretty loud.
It was extremely loud. And so I yell up to Lisa. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, did you hear that? And she's like, oh yeah, it happens all the time. And I was like, what? And I was like, so you're just going to hang out here? And I was like, oh my God. So I'm in my robe. You know, I throw my cell phone in my pocket, and I go running out onto the street. And there's an SUV that's in the middle of the road. And this girl's like trying to get her door open. So, you know, we get her out of the other neighbors are like running out of the street now too. And so we get this girl out of her car, and she was this adorable little Irish girl, you know, probably about my age, 26 or 27. Mm-hmm. And she almost burst into tears. And right before she did, I grab her and I was like, come here. And I give her like this huge hug. And she's like, aww. She's like, it's okay. I'm going to be fine. I'm like, well, let's get you out of the street.
Yeah.
So then I call 911 because no one else had. And they're like, what's your emergency? And I'm like, oh, there was a head-on collision on my street. You know, I give the address and everything. And then they're like, well, is anyone hurt? And I'm like, I don't know. Hold on. So I run up the street to the other car that had like, you know, swerved out of control and had kind of gone off into the bushes and half in the road. And there was a Hispanic girl, maybe about 23 years old, that was there. And so I was like, ma'am, are you okay? And she's like, fuck you.
Whoa.
And I said, excuse me. And 911's like, ma'am, is everyone okay? And I was like, you know what? I think, physically, yes. Mentally, no. So this girl's like, get off the phone with the fucking police. And I was like, no, I'm reporting like a major accident. So she lunges after me and tries to like pull the phone out of my hands.
Are you? And this is in front of people
this
now?
This is in front of a million people now. Not a million, probably like 15 people that are now on the side of the street.
Yeah.
And she had a boyfriend in the car that wouldn't get out of the car. And she's trying to attack me. And I was like, ma'am, you should thank your lucky stars you're alive. And she's just screaming at me. And I'm like trying to run now back down the street to the other victim, you know, the poor girl.
Yeah. No, nobody stepped in doing this?
No one stepped in. Really? No one was over like with her car. Everyone was over with the other girl's car.
I see. Okay.
So now everyone said, you know, we're going to leave that one alone. Like, she's crazy. So that was fine. So I tell 911 there are no injuries. And then they say, well, tell the people to exchange information and call a tow company. Mm-hmm. I said, you're not going to send anyone? Mm-hmm. You know, it's a major street. So finally, like, I go out and I start directing traffic. Because seriously, another head-on collision could have happened any second. It was pitch black. It's a really busy street. People are flying, you know, back and forth around the crashed cars.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
so
I see...
So you're directing traffic.
I'm directing traffic.
Yeah. Did you put on white gloves and stuff?
No, I was wearing my black bathrobe and my nightie. So I run back out as soon as I see the girl, the crazy girl who said, fuck you to me. Mm. She's getting in her car and she's trying to drive off. So,
wow.
So this other neighbor... this gentleman, we'll call him Bob. So Bob and I go, and we stand in front of her car, and we're like, you're not going anywhere, sweetheart. And so she starts trying to like pull forward and run us over, at which point the dry cleaner, this Israeli man who's so sweet, he's like, get out of the way, she's crazy, she's going to kill you. And so I'm like, there's no way I'm letting this bitch escape. So Bob, he goes in through her boyfriend's door, the side passenger door, and he starts trying to get the keys out of the ignition. The boyfriend starts trying to pummel this guy in the face.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, there's blood everywhere. They are just like breaking each other's noses and kicking the living daylights out of each other. And so then the guy who's like fighting the boyfriend, his wife comes out and sees her, you know, her significant other in the car, like just pummeling this guy and blood everywhere.
Wow.
So she starts like shrieking at the top of her lungs. So I try and grab her to get her away, and she gets elbowed in the face, and now her face is bleeding.
You're kidding.
No, wow. I'm dead serious.
Who did she get elbowed by?
I think actually it was her boyfriend that elbowed her.
Oh.
But she was claiming that the girl who was driving was the one that tried to assault her.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was really the case.
Yeah.
But
so you think that couple probably had something to hide, huh? I mean, they were like
the girl was obviously on drugs and she was drunk, and she knew she was going to go to jail if the police came.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this turned into Jerry Springer. I get the one like shrieking lady across the street, and I'm like, she's like, my boyfriend, my husband. I was like, I'll get him. I was like, stay over there, sweetheart. Yeah. And so I grab her boyfriend by the hair, and I'm like, do you want to go to jail for battery? I'm like, get up. And so I pull him across the street too. But luckily, he had already grabbed the keys, so the girl couldn't escape now.
Wow.
So then the police came, and they ended up arresting her for a DUI.
Oh, they did, huh?
Yep.
Did they do a test on her first?
Breathalyzer
or something?
I assume so.
Yeah.
But she was totally belligerent and trying to like fight the cops. And but can you believe this? Like there were no injuries in the accident.
Yeah.
And then by the time the firemen got there, they had to treat like four people.
Wow.
But for nothing related to the accident.
I know. Plus, think about it. If she hadn't said anything and just cooperated, nobody would consider her being drunk.
I know.
You know, the police probably wouldn't have come. You know, you could just exchange something. But she was an unwilling participant.
Hostile.
Yes.
Extremely hostile. Wow. Like, bitch. I couldn't believe that, though. But so that was my excitement for Friday night. But it ended up being fine because the girl, the Irish girl who was hit, she was so cute and so nice. And I kind of hate her because her boyfriend, her husband, is like the perfect man. Because he, as soon as he heard that she had been in an accident, he hopped on his motorcycle and drove straight there. Mm. You know, and then he went home to get her Uggs and like a sweatshirt because it was cold.
Oh.
And while she's being interviewed by the police, he's down on his hands and knees, like exchanging her flip-flop for a warm, fuzzy boot.
What?
So Lisa and I were just like, we looked at each other and we're like, she is so lucky.
Yeah, how come we don't find men
like this?
How
come we don't find men like this? Can you imagine Franz doing that? No. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, well.
But isn't that nuts, Sam?
It really is.
No injuries at all from the accident, and then the police and the fire people had to treat four people for injuries.
And of course, you're in the middle of the action.
I'm in the middle of the action.
Yeah, you always manage.
Trying to mind my own business and be a good girl and stay home, and you know, shit just finds me. It just seeks me out. So all in all, I had a fun-filled weekend dealing with the cops 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Friday night for the accident, and then Saturday night because I was vandalizing the property with the sidewalk chalk.
Yes, how dare you?
Bad Susie.
Yeah. Let's just take a short break, okay?
Okay.
We'll be back right after this.
It's late. You've been drinking, and the worst thing you can do is get behind the keyboard.
Dear Penelope, I know you're my boss's wife, and I shouldn't be writing this on the company email.
Every weekend, thousands of drunken emails are sent, ruining careers, relationships, and countless lives.
I know we only met at the office one time, so I've attached a photo. I hope you recognize me without pants.
But thankfully, Google is here to help.
P.S. Your husband is sleeping with his assistant, Steve. Love, Bob. Send? What the? Why won't it send?
Introducing Email Goggles from Google. Because friends don't let friends email drunk.
This is the great Senator Ted Kennedy. I am a big fan of Sam and Susie in the Morning here on LA Talk Radio. There is nothing more than I like Jews and nymphomaniacs. And put that pair together, and that is something I will listen to on my internet radio all day long. Here they are, Sam and the horny little slut, Susie. Era.
It's Sam and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
I would imagine you take offense to those references to you.
I do. Well, not the nympho, but...
not the nympho, but the slut one.
Yes.
That was mean.
That was downright mean.
Very mean of Ted Kennedy to say that.
Yeah, that's funny because I know Ted.
You do?
Yes.
You met in person?
Yeah, he's best friends with my friend Michael.
Right, so you did meet him in person.
Many, many times, yes. And he would never say that about me.
Yeah.
I take offense to that, so.
He's pretty fat now.
Yeah, his health isn't doing so well.
Yeah, but he sure outlasted all the Kennedys, let me tell you.
I know.
Even young John John, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. And do you remember the whole thing with Chappaquiddick and the... you know that story, right?
No.
You don't know that story?
Okay. No, tell me.
When Ted Kennedy was young, he drove with this woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they drove off a bridge or something into a river.
Mm-hmm.
And... yeah, he came out okay.
What did you call that? You called it
Chappaquiddick, isn't that? That's the name of it.
I don't know.
That's where it happened. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I know they got all kinds of weird names for places up north. You know, all those Indian names and stuff.
I know. I grew up in Wappingers Falls.
Yeah.
In New York, and you know, to me that doesn't sound weird, but people are always just like, "Ho ho ho, Wappingers Falls," and Fishkill, and people are like, "Fishkill," like what's so funny about that?
Yeah.
But apparently, it is.
Yeah, I suppose.
I know.
Yeah. So, last night was interesting here. We have... there you go with your phone now.
Mine's just vibrating, okay. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, but we can hear
it. I like it when it vibrates.
I know. Oh, my. Really? Did you fix your vibrator, by the way?
No, but I did find a really good backup that I forgot I had.
Oh, really?
Yes, yes.
You went through your stuff and found something?
I did, I did. It had fallen down in between the crack of my bed and the floor. And I was like, I knew I had it somewhere, and I'd bought a replacement motor for it. And this is a $400 vibrator.
Replacement motor for a vibrator?
I have like six of them, yes.
Wow.
Because this one, it kind of looks like a test tube.
Yeah.
And it's from a company called Jimmy Jane. Mm. And even though like they're not sponsoring us, maybe I should get them to sponsor us.
Okay.
That would be great. This is the best site ever.
Really?
Yes, I'm telling you, for like glamorous high-end sex toys.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
But this thing, it's like the Mac Daddy of vibrators, and it's submergible in water, and it's just really great. Mm. And it just requires one battery and the power you get from it. But especially that coupled with my new tantric breathing exercises, mm-hmm, just created a delightful
big O
warm, wet, squishy.
Wish it could have been there.
Oh man, I'm telling you, if there had been flies on the wall, the smile that was across my face, it was just like hallelujah.
You know, do you ever think that if there are spirits, okay, and they're around us, do you ever wonder like, Is my grandmother watching me masturbating? Or
I used to think that when I was little, a long time ago, and I haven't thought that in years. So thanks a lot for putting that image in my head.
Sometimes I think about it, and you know, I kind of lose it. I'm like, I feel like being watched.
Okay, well, I would feel, you know, I kind of like the feeling of being watched. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, I guess
you know,
you
it's
do.
Like having sex in a hotel with the windows open, like the, you know.
Well, you are an exhibitionist to a certain extent, I think.
So I don't mind if certain spirits are watching me, you know. but other certain ones, like AKA my grandmother and grandfather, no.
Yeah. Plus, I figure they see everybody masturbate, so it's not a big deal for them.
Yeah, seriously.
Although I think it's total bullshit.
You
nobody's
still think of that?
Us.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, God.
I know, that's silly. So, do you have an exam today? When is your test?
You know what? I really hope that I don't.
Oh, you don't know?
Well, it's funny because I'm the go-to girl in my biology class. All of my friends, I got all these Facebook messages being like, oh my gosh, Susie, do we have an exam on Monday or don't we? And it's just like, actually, I don't know. I'm going to go with no, just because the professor said the other day when I got him to realize that we're not biology majors, he needs to stop trying to make us learn.
Yeah.
We're here to have fun and learn a little bit of biology. And so he should cut the shit. And it was just too funny because finally he agreed with me. He's like, all right, Susie, just talk about sex for the whole class. Do what you do. God damn it. But so all the kids in the class were, you know, emailing me like, are we having the test or not? And I said, the professor said he's not giving us the test until we know the material. And therefore, we don't know the material, so therefore we are not having the test today. I could be completely surprised when I get there at 6:30 this evening.
Yeah, there you go. That's if he keeps his word, then there's no test. But
I know.
I don't know about that. Teachers are known to do some crazy things sometimes.
I know. But if worst case scenario, you know, I think he does drop the lowest grade, so I can afford to do.
And what about if you just study? I mean, it's not going to go to waste.
Oh,
right?
No. I don't mind studying for it. It's just I haven't had the time this weekend. I've had a very busy social calendar.
Yeah, I know. Like being detained by the police.
Being detained by the police.
I'm surprised you didn't get beat up in that accident deal.
Oh, I
you
know.
Because everybody else seemed to.
No, seriously. It was the funniest thing I've ever experienced in my life.
Wow.
It was just Jerry Springer style.
Yeah.
I was like, this is just great. I wish I'd had a video camera for the entire thing.
Yeah.
Because it was just so unbelievable.
Yeah. And I know what, you know what, I would not blame them if they took her in. And, you know, I mean, you just don't fucking drive drunk. Enough with that. You know? It's just, yeah, don't fucking laugh at me, okay? You're another
I'm not
story.
Laughing at you driving.
At least you ride a bicycle for the most part.
I know.
We don't know of the times you drive drunk, but.
I try and ride my bicycle drunk.
Don't. Pretend you don't.
That's why I ride my bike all the time. What can I say?
Yeah.
You think it's because I like riding a bike? No. No, I'm just kidding.
Just
because
you want to be drunk and riding.
It's just really
time.
Fun.
Yeah. So, that Rubik's Cube nerd, nothing came out of that one? I mean, what do you mean made out? You kissed and stuff? Or?
I sat in his lap and we just made out.
Oh, cool.
Speaking of making out, so your son was hysterical on Saturday. He was just like, so what's up with you and the Franz? I was like, well, we're kind of broken up. He's like, why? And I was like, well, because I kind of had a threesome on Sunday. And he's like, oh my God.
Do you want to shock this guy?
Your poor son, he doesn't know what to do with me. He's like, so you're addicted to sex, right? And I'm like, no, I'm just a human being.
You see,
I'm a sexual
and that's
person.
That's why he's fascinated by you. You know, I mean, he clings to you every time he sees easier.
I know. It was so funny because he came up and he's like, Susie, I just wanted to say hi. And then he said, I love you.
Because yeah. he's dying to talk to girls about sex, but girls his age won't.
Now,
know?
Sam, I don't know how much you want me to educate the young lad, but he was saying, he's like, so I said, I haven't had sex since my boyfriend left town. He was like, wait, but you just said you had a threesome. And I was like, I had a threesome, but I didn't have sex. I did not have sex with those people. And he's like, so what? I don't get it. So what makes it a threesome? I was like, yeah, we just fooled around a little bit. And he's like, well, what's that mean? I don't get it. So he's like, what's fooling around? So you need to have a sit down with your son and explain what fooling around is.
Susie, excuse me. Excuse me, okay? When you're lying there and a chick is eating you out and then you give the guy, possibly gave him head, that's sex.
No, it's not.
Susie, excuse me.
It's fooling around. Okay, so say you have a virgin. She's 15 years old, okay? Right. Uh-huh. And she decides to go down for the first time on this boy. Right. Is she or is she not a virgin? She might be a little slut.
I don't care if she's a virgin, but that's sex.
Well, listen. Then she's not a virgin.
Listen, you're preoccupied with your genitals.
So giving a blowjob, okay. You know, that says like she lost her virginity.
A blowjob is, well,
if it's sex, that means she's not
no.
a virgin anymore.
I mean, look, if you're looking at virginity as whether she had her hymen broken or not, well, then
whether
she's not.
But sex is intercourse.
No, I don't think so. Sex is everything. Okay, open up a sex book, any sex book. Do they not talk about oral sex?
Yes.
And anal sex? Okay, that's not sex to you?
There are a ton of girls out there that are now only having anal sex because they want to, quote-unquote, keep their virginity
right,
like,
but
for
it
their
is
husband.
Sex. But it is sex. It doesn't matter where the dick goes. It's still sex, you know? That's why Bill Clinton was like, you know, he was thinking the way you do. That's why he thought he didn't have sex. But head is very much sex. Just ask yourself this, Susie.
It is very sexual, but it's only fooling around.
If you're in a committed relationship, okay, and then you go off on your own to a party, okay, and you're naked with this guy and this chick, how do you think that boyfriend or husband is going to react?
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I see both sides to the story, but for the most part, just kids when they're young and they're fooling around and they don't want to go all the way and they don't want to, you know, risk getting STDs or getting pregnant and things like that. You know, they're not having traditional sex.
No, they're not having intercourse, but they're doing everything else.
It's just fooling around.
Well, okay, that's your euphemism for the word.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not the reality, Susie. The reality is that anything you do without your clothes on, fondling each other.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So yeah. say you were to cheat on your wife, and you just had some woman go down on you in the car, like you didn't kiss her, you didn't do anything else.
Right.
She just gave you fellatio.
Yes, sex, big time.
Really?
Big time sex. What, do you think my wife would be okay with that?
No, but I think she would be more okay with that than if you had actually had sex with the other person.
Probably, but it doesn't mean that's not sex. Because I think when...
Would you say you were caught. You say, but I didn't have sex with that woman. Would you say that? Would that be the first thing that you would say?
No, never.
I don't believe it.
No, Susie, I swear to you. Okay, having your cock in somebody else's mouth, that's sex. I don't know how else you define it. You know, I mean, come on. Wait, is this something you'd see on TV? No. Because it's sex. Yes?
On the new 90210? Absolutely.
Oh, they show you a dick and the chick.
Well, you see the head and the lap.
Okay, so it's not the same. All right? But they are having sex. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Even at my mother's school in upstate New York, where she's a teacher, you know, the kids from the age of like 7th and 8th grade, they've been caught having oral sex, you know, with a girl giving the guy a blowjob somewhere, and they're not expelled for having sex. Mm. Oh, for Christ's sake, that's your phone now.
That's completely embarrassing, but you know what? It's because it's the new phone, and I've been really getting a little irritated.
Because you're such a virgin with the iPhone.
But, yeah. Shut up. Somebody call and help us out with this argument, please. 323-203-0815. We only have a few minutes.
Or send us an email and we'll get back to you.
Yeah, but I don't buy that Bill Clinton thing of I didn't have sex.
I still disagree. If you got caught with your pants down, that would be the first thing you would say to your wife.
And then you ejaculate. That's not a sexual act?
Well, what if I'm getting like fingered or something and I don't come?
Well, it doesn't
matter. Why does coming have to...
No, but forget about that for a second, okay?
You brought it up.
No. I'm talking about getting fellatio.
Okay.
Okay, so a woman sucks you out and you ejaculate. That's not sex? What do you call that?
A blowjob.
Okay, that's one word for it. But the category?
Fellatio.
Fuck you, okay? You just won't admit it.
Some, because of our listeners don't like it when you say fuck you to me.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Fuck them too. No, but yeah, I mean, look, to you it doesn't seem like that because I think you want to feel like you're not being a slut or anything. But let me tell you, okay?
Personally, I don't actually like giving blowjobs, but...
I know. I'm not crazy about them either, receiving them, that is.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe giving them I would like it, but...
Sam!
No, but...
you don't like getting a blowjob?
No. I'm not that... No, because I kind of feel out of control, and even during sex, I don't like to feel out of control. I mean, the most I like to feel out of control during sex is when it's a woman superior position. You know, when she's on top, I sort of like kind of pretend she's taking advantage of me sexually or something. You know, and that's that. But I don't know. With the blowjob, I don't enjoy it. I know I never came from a blowjob.
What?
Never. Well, you know what? Maybe a long time ago.
That's crazy.
When I was young.
And that brings up another thing.
I can't relax enough.
Your son Sean was saying, he was saying, I forget how he phrased it, but he's like, yeah, so like when you're having sex, like it only lasts like 5 minutes, right? And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, like boys can only go for like 5 minutes. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, honey.
Well, that's like, boys. Boys is true probably about, you know? I mean, the boy at that age, you just stick it inside of you and he comes, you know? Are you kidding? It takes a lot of years of training.
But he didn't know that, like, you know, his end result in life should be to last a little bit longer. maybe go for 6 minutes, maybe 7 minutes.
Well, look, listen, I'm still, it's a work in progress what I'm teaching him, you know? I'm trying to take it a little bit at a time.
I don't think you're teaching him anything, and I think you should stop. I think he should come under my wing.
No, listen, I mean, he's... He feels so much freer with me than with anybody else talking about sex and stuff. You know, because I'm accepting, you know, and I understand his frustrations because I was his age once too, you know? In case you didn't know.
No way. You?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
I know. So what's going on with the contact with Franz? Have you talked to him at all?
I talked to him for a few minutes yesterday, but...
You decided to flash me with a cross right about now?
Yes.
Oh, what's that about?
I don't know.
Yeah. You know what that does to Jews? It pretty much affects them like vampires.
Really?
Yeah.
No way. Are you kidding?
Of course I'm kidding.
Oh, okay.
You know what they do to vampires, right? I mean, they...
It burns!
Yeah.
And it melts them.
Yeah. You're like, really? No, you're so gullible this
morning. Mother says the same thing with this thing. Yeah. She's like, oh my gosh. She's like, it's going to burn you. Because she thinks I'm like the devil or something. I don't know. So that's kind of why I wear it. It's kind of hypocritical.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique cross. Describe it.
It's really cool. It's, I don't know, you describe it.
Well, it's metal. It's made of sort of like ovals.
Turquoise.
Yeah, turquoise ovals. And, yeah.
I actually found it at a consignment shop. I got a lot of compliments on this thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it stands out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just wear it because it's the opposite of me. Mm. Holier than thou. Not.
Yeah. You're not religious at all, are you?
I was born and raised super, super Catholic.
Really?
I went to a Catholic school for most of my childhood, just because I was able to leave Catholic school to go work in the city and do commercials and things.
Right.
But so, you know, we'd always go to church on the Holy Days of Obligation, and every Sunday I would go with my family. You know, I was confirmed, but that's as far as I've gotten.
Yeah.
I wanted to defrock a priest once.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
Yeah?
He finally has left the churchhood now, but he left for another woman.
Oh.
I think I told you that.
Yeah, you told us about inviting him to your house.
Yeah, I was in second grade when I fell in love with him, and I was like, he's going to be mine. That's so wrong. When I was 7 years old.
It is wrong when you're that young and think that way.
I was thinking that way.
Yeah.
Oy.
You developed early sexually, obviously.
But it wasn't even like, I don't know. I wasn't even thinking about sex. I was just like, he has to be mine. Yeah. I just wanted to like conquer.
Yeah.
Like divide and conquer. I wanted to own him.
Yeah. I want to convert him.
Yes.
Wow. That's a pretty young age to be thinking these things.
I know.
But you probably weren't thinking. You just kind of felt it.
I never really was like, I wasn't acting on things sexually, but like right from the time I was in kindergarten, I would chase boys around the playground and I would catch them and I wouldn't know what to do, so I'd kick them in the shin.
Yeah. You know, I had a couple of hot teachers when I was young. I mean, I'd whack off to them and everything.
Oh, God.
Yeah. It was pretty, yeah. I mean, I always like, and all the women too, you know. I mean, I'd like ride the bus and stuff, all the women going to work, going wherever. And
wait, what bus are we talking about?
Well, when I was young, you know, I'd take a bus to school and stuff, you know.
A school bus?
No. In Israel, they don't have school buses. You just kind of take your own bus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you just take the general bus, yeah. Because it's not as big, you know. I mean, everything's pretty close. Most people walk to school, you know. Yeah. But then when we moved, I would take the bus and stuff. And, yeah, so, I mean, I'd always be, like, around all these women and stuff, you know. And I would...
always look up their skirt.
Yeah. Sort of like, you know, get the details, you know, whatever turns me on, whether it's the boobs or the ass, whatever, and then go home and...
Well, from now on, you know what? I'm going to start taking the bus. That way I can close my eyes and meditate and do my whole breathing, Kegel, deep exercise.
Yeah.
Because, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And I can't do that while I'm driving my own car.
Yeah.
So, shit, I might start taking public transportation.
So you actually masturbated and did this breathing?
While I was masturbating, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yep.
And it gave you an explosive one?
It just intensified everything.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Poor Alan's out here listening to this show.
Yeah, that's okay. He doesn't have to.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, we're at the top of the show, Susie. We had a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
A lot to do.
Guests.
A lot of laughter.
Yes, yes.
As always.
Now I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah? Cool. You got anything today? School.
School until that's 10 tonight. It. Yeah.
But not working or anything?
Nope.
Man, you got the lifestyle, let me tell you.
Bullshit.
You sure
being
grabbed
in class
life,
for 6 hours.
You grabbed life by the balls.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I've got to go receive my stats test that I got a C on.
Oh.
Did I tell you that?
No.
I'm very disappointed in myself.
A C.
But it's better than the F I got the first
That's
time.
That's right. You're not doing very well this year.
But he drops our lowest grade. I'm going to get an A in biology, and I'm going to get a B in stats. So getting an A and a B
That's
is doing just
prediction.
Fine.
That's a prediction.
I guarantee it.
Okay. Just like you lasted only 2 days without drinking.
You told me to fall off the wagon.
Different. I gave you permission.
You did too. I told you I was going to start chain smoking again if I kept not drinking.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And so you said, please,
so
I don't want to be responsible.
Your ass. Okay. I saved your ass from smoke and shit.
That chicken over there looks really dirty.
Yeah, it's a rubber chicken. It's Johnny Dan's poster.
Look at its mouth.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. I know what you're talking about. It's just a funny picture. Nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. All right. Susie, have a great day then.
I will.
Good
you
luck
too, Sam.
Tonight at school.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and we'll be back tomorrow, everyone. Thanks for listening.
Happy Columbus Day.
Oh, yeah. That's right. It is, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Probably if you go to the bank or mail, no mail today and all that stuff.
Yep.
That's right. I totally forgot. See, I didn't bring my... our news thing with me this morning. Okay. Happy Monday.
Bye.
See you tomorrow.